Today is July 6, 2023. I'm Jen Widener with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library, conducting interviews for Some Like It Hot, Tales from the Firehouse. I'm here today with Fire Chief Sean Grant of the Jeffersonville Fire Department. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So how long have you been with the department?
August, it'll be 27 years.
And you've been chief for how long?
Going on 3 years now.
So you started like right at the beginning of the pandemic?
Yes. The first day of the pandemic is when I started as chief.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that weekend.
Nice. So what made you want to become a firefighter?
Well, that's a long story, but I guess you got time. I grew up on Indiana Avenue that is about 2-3 blocks away from our station one. And as a kid, I used to go there and hang out. And I always had urge or a want to become a fireman or to do something in public safety because my dad was a policeman. And I ended up hanging out there, like I said, a lot. And when I become, I think it was about 27, 28, I applied and I got hired after 5 tries. And here I am, 27 years later. But how I want the passion to be a first responder was my dad, watching him and the respect in the community that he got from being that first responder. I even got respect because I was known from, hey, you're Marvin's boy. So it was just, I think it's a calling for people. So, hey, I answered it, and here I am today.
So if you weren't a firefighter, what do you think you would be doing?
Well, I had a path for that, too. I used to work at the hospital I worked at the hospital directly after high school, and I was looking at becoming a nurse. And I bought a sports car while I was there, and I couldn't afford the insurance and drive it. So my dad had retired, and he took over security at Jeff Boat. I took vocational welding in high school, and I didn't want to be a welder, and I ended up going to Jeff Boat to work where that I worked there for 7 years, but only 3 years I worked as a laborer. I worked the last 4 as a supervisor. So, and I wanted to try something different because all the policemen at the time used to come in there and get their ID photos made at the guard shack. My dad had an ID machine there. So all the city police, before they got their own ID maker, used to come in there, and I used to go, I think I'm going to try that. And then my dad said, no, you want to be a fireman? I was like, yes, I do. So I tried 5 times, and I finally got hired in 1996.
So police officer kids become firefighter. Firefighters kids become police officers. That's...
Absolutely. My dad didn't want me to be a policeman. And I'm not sure if Kenny's dad wanted him to be a policeman because he's all cop.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I always tell people, I wouldn't have the chief of police here any other way. He's really good at what he does.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
So our city is really safe, I think, under his leadership. And I believe so. Myself and him work good together. And, hey, I think we've got a good team going on here and a lot of good things to happen here in Jeff.
So what are some challenges of your job?
Where that my job differs from being an online firefighter is, and granted, I miss those days. Because there's nothing worse when you're online if you're trying to mitigate a problem, maybe a rescue, and you have some issues with your tools or some of those things. But my job is different. It differs now because I deal with the budgets and running through the hoops of, I've got to sell what I need for our department, and I have to sell that to 9 different people. Okay, and I've got to have a pretty good argument when I go and I ask for things. So just for instance, the last thing I just asked for is $3.4 million. So I got to be pretty good on my game to explain that to 9 different people how and why I need this money. So that's some of the challenges of being the chief. I don't like to, as when I took over as chief, I always give, I don't like to do discipline. I don't like that. That's the hardest part about this job, and I prefer not to. I prefer to let the captains run their crews, and if it can't, they can't handle it, then it comes to me. That's some of the challenges of that because of my, I guess, closeness to the guys that I work with. I want to be their friend too, as well as their boss. So that's one of the hard things to separate yourself from.
Well, do you have many disciplinary issues?
No, I don't. But when I have some, I'm like, it just kind of, it's kind of hard to take to do. Not really. I don't have many at all, but you get them periodically. But that's some of the challenges of the job and dealing with selling the things that we need. And we know that we need them, but you don't get them, and you're going, you're screaming, and you're going, I need this, we need this, we gotta have this, gotta have this. And then sometimes people, they get on board with you, and then sometimes they don't. Sometimes you don't get everything you want, so you just have to learn to accept that. And I do. I accept the fact that sometimes I'm not gonna get everything I want.
As long as you're getting some of what you want, yeah. To keep the department going. And
that's my motto. And I don't stop asking.
That's true. That is true.
So, you know, here he comes again. So that's my MO with the fiscal body here in the city. Here he comes again. He's gonna ask for something else. So hey,
you know what your team needs, though.
I do.
I mean, yeah.
So, and I want, like I said, my motto is give my guys all of what they need to be successful in their jobs, and some of what they want.
So I know you're not online anymore, but when you were, how long did it take to get used to working those 24-hour shifts?
When you first start as a firefighter online and you get out of training and then they put you on your crew, you kind of have anxiety waiting for the alarm to go off. How long did it take you to get used to it? Let me give you my first rundown of my first couple of days. Okay, my first day, I get there. Didn't have uniforms yet, but one of the guys gave me some pants to wear, Mike McCutcheon, which Mike is one of my deputy chiefs now. And I had t-shirts, and then I get there that morning, and I'm going, okay. Mm-hmm. And everybody's outside. They're checking the truck in the morning, and then the Major Jim Carter, God rest his soul. He's a great guy.
Yep, yeah, my dad knew him. Yep.
And he would go to the store and get breakfast. They come back, cook breakfast, and we clean up a little bit, and then the captain would have a training regiment for us that day. So we were going down, since I was a new firefighter. We go down to the end of Indiana Avenue, and we were going to go spray water. And to get me acclimated to the pressure of the hose and everything. So we go do that, and then everybody started watching their watch, and they're like, hey, it's almost noon. We got to go. We got to get back. I'm just thinking,
what's going on?
What happens at noon? So we roll up the hose. We get back to the station. Mike McCutcheon goes in and starts some tea on the stove. Bobby Jones goes in and gets his favorite chair. And we sat there and watched Days of Our Lives.
That is not what I expected to hear from a firefighter today.
That was our regiment every day.
So did you learn to like that soap opera?
I did.
That might be the funniest thing I've heard so far.
So that's what we did, and It was kind of going, I was used to working 6 days, 5-6 days a week, and then I'd work 3 to 4 hours over at Jet Boat during the week. And so I was used to, I only had like 2 weeks vacation, and I was constantly get it down there, and there wasn't no breaks, you know, because everything we built was
right
on time and hours. So It was a unique adjustment, and it takes, to get adjusted to that, it takes you a few months, and because you're up and down, sometimes in the middle of the night, it's an adjustment, so you gotta learn to kind of pace yourself and rest, when there's opportunity there, because you don't know if you're going to be out for the next 10, 12 hours and working a pretty good sized structure fire or something other. So it's a balance of sit around and kind of relax a little bit and wait till the next incident happens. So it takes about a couple months to get acclimated into the schedule.
And so when you first start and you're trying to sleep at the firehouse, are you just constantly kind of like laying there waiting for the alarm? Like, you don't allow yourself to relax like you normally would because that anticipation?
No, you're wound up and thinking that it's going to go off. And back in the day, we've changed the buzzer at station one, but it would, when that buzzer went off, it would like scare the hell out of you. Especially if you wasn't used to it, especially in the bedroom. So yeah, you get amped up a little bit waiting and anticipating the alarm to go off, because you can't wait to put that new fire gear you got on. You can't wait to get out and get on that back of that truck and go and make a difference, because everybody loves the fireman when he comes. Everybody does. It's rarely that you will ever see somebody says, "Oh, I wish you guys didn't come." In my 27 years, I've only had that happen once. And that's because the guy was shooting fireworks and he was under the influence of alcohol, and he shot him up into the eaves of his house and caught it on fire.
Well, you know.
Yes. So in my 27 years, that's the only time I've had an incident that people wasn't welcoming to us. So, but it takes a couple months to get acclimated to the schedule.
So what are some of the best parts of your job? You can talk about like your job as chief or your job when you were online.
The best part of my job when I was online, and I'll give you two parts of it, is I got to work with some unique guys, and we had a ball. We always laughed and we pranked each other, and we were like big kids again, and it was just fun to be there. I learned. So I guess I was a 20-something-year-old young man, and when I was at Jeff Boat as a supervisor, I made really good money, and so I didn't do anything for myself. I paid somebody to do it. I paid somebody to cut my grass. I paid somebody to change my oil. But working and growing together with the guys that I work with on my crew, they taught me how to be a young man. So I changed my oil in my car. I cut my own grass. I did things that I didn't think I was capable of doing. And I learned that through that. And what I contribute that to is like a little family. So that's where that I learned to do a lot of things that I didn't do as a young man. I learned it at the fire department.
That's cool.
So, and it made me a better person.
It's like those older gentlemen took you under their wing and was like, "We're going to show you. Yes. This is stuff you can do."
Yes, and we did things, and when it comes to changing brakes and doing things like that, I never thought I could ever do stuff like that. But pull your car in here, I'm going to show you how to do it. And we did it. So we always did things, especially the weekends. Weekends are more laid back at the firehouse. Myself, Bobby Jones, and Mike McCutcheon, if we were on the ladder truck that week or that month, and we rotated back and forth, we always had projects to work on. We'd always do something. And just to keep our day busy. When the alarm went off, get off, drop whatever we were doing, go get on the truck, and go take care of business. But that's some of the things as an online firefighter I remember. And I remember some of the other crews that I got to work with, Ricky Cooper and Anthony Thomas. We just laughed and had a ball, because Ricky was kind of cantankerous. And every day at work, it was something. We laughed at him, and we had a ball. And but he was cantankerous, but he was probably one of the smartest and the most talented people. He was a musician, too, that I've ever met. And we just had a great time that day. And getting away from being at home with my wife and kids, going there, I kind of go. The challenges that I've had as the chief is just selling the department to people, selling what we do and how we, making people know the importance of our firefighters and what we do here in the community. That's one of the challenges of the job, is because sometimes you get that, I see you're kind of just relaxing at the station when they pop in every once in a while. Some of the guys are kind of sitting back watching TV in the recliners, and that's kind of what we get noted for.
Oh, yeah, that's what I hear all the time. Oh, they don't do anything. They just sit in their recliners all day. And I want to look at them and be like, have you ever one time spoken to a firefighter in your life and asked them what their job is like?
Yeah, what do you do? I commend my guys, because from 27 years ago till today, they not only, it's not so much as more fires they see, it's a lot of the destruction of this world that they see. And it weighs heavy on these young guys.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I always ask, is like, how are your mental, how's your mental health? Do you have the resources you need to take care of that?
Yeah, and that's one of the things is too, as chief, I'm in the process of working on that as we speak. So I've got a chaplain that's there, but I'm going to take it another step further to make sure that there's someone there that if they feel they need to talk to, they need a person, and they're going to have somebody there available for it. So that's on my list of things to do as chief. So as chief, I'm constantly trying to evolve and make the department move forward. It's always a work in progress. Just when you think you're caught up, and I always tell my staff, I go, we're going to get caught up here. We're going to kind of take it easy a little bit. And then I'll sit at home and I'll start jotting things down in my notes on my phone, because they don't think I write anything down, because I keep everything in here.
Same.
Because this is a tool, or I keep it on my iPad. So yep. I keep everything in there. And so when I'm sitting at home in my sunroom and I'm jotting things down that I want to see done, then I go in our next meeting and I lay it all out. Here's what I need to get done. So, and it's worked. It's worked over the last 3 years. We've got a lot accomplished the last 3 years to move the department forward. So, unfortunately, one of the things is I've had as a chief, and I think if you can, if it's been bad, it's been put on my shoulders since I've had, pandemic was the first week of my.
What a challenging thing to deal with.
Yeah, and I, when I got that call, I took off that weekend before the pandemic, and then I go to work Monday, and it's like, hey, such as this, that, the country shut down, blah, 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 what are we going to do?
And you're like, let me breathe and think about this for a second.
We come up with a plan, and we implemented it, and it worked for us. And, and I couldn't do that without surrounding myself with good, qualified people. So I don't have all the answers. But as a chief, having good, qualified people around you, hey, it helps. So we went off without a hitch.
Yeah, because you all didn't, no firefighter died from COVID, right?
No.
None of ours. You had some that got sick.
Yes, and those were some of the challenges, because guys would get sick. And one of the things is we just halted all of our EMS runs. I said, no more EMS runs. I had to think about the lives of the family members of these guys that worked as firefighters. Their job is to be firefighters, and I had to think about, hey, you go in these people's houses, and hey, you don't know if you're going to take that home to your parents or your mom or your aunt or your uncle or
your children. Yeah. Right.
And so it was trying times, but we got through them, so wouldn't change anything we did. I think we did a phenomenal job, and we kept the city just safe. We made fire runs, and then we eventually started making EMS runs. And before, we didn't have the equipment to do so, but we got the equipment to do it. Masks, gloves, we deconned, we did the whole nine yards. We come up with a incident action plan, and we implemented it, and that's what we did, and we mitigated the biggest part of our problems that we had here. One of the other downsides moving past COVID was, since I've been chief, was dealing with our first in line of death duty with Deputy Chief Diark. I think if it's bad that can happen, it's happened to me since I've been chief.
You better knock on some wood so nothing else happens.
Yes. So,
and you guys have had quite a few firefighters retire recently, yes?
I've got five right now in the pipeline to become new firefighters right now. So, yeah, and we've grown through leaps and bounds. And I'm in the process of trying to get an additional four and run another truck out of the East End station. So that's what I'm working on.
And yeah, I mean, Jeff has grown exponentially since we were young. I mean, I can't even fathom, like, when I was a kid, like, how big Jeff would become.
So, give you a general idea of what we're facing. When I started, we made 200 to 300 runs a year, and that's with three stations. Today, we're up to like 3,500 a year, and growing.
And that's with your five stations.
Yes, and growing. So, we are we're growing tremendously.
So, are we trying to get another station?
I'm going to try to get two other stations. So that's some of the things I'm trying to sell to the council. And I want another station in River Ridge. And then I want to move one of our companies out of our station one down here and move them a little further to the towards the river and up towards the East End.
Makes sense. That's where all the growth is. So,
and it'll only help serve this community the way better.
Yes.
So, when I spread out the resources. So that's what I've got planned for the next future. I've got four more years, so we'll see what happens.
So I know there's no, like, typical day for a firefighter, but what is, like, either now as chief or before, what's your typical start of your day like?
Oh, when I get there in the mornings, I go in and I walk down the hallway. I greet everybody who's sitting in their office. I usually go back to my office and then I'll check emails and see, because I get emails from civilians and they were like, hey, I get them from all over, people from all over the country, from people wanting to see if they could have one of our patches, to people wanting economic, they want studies, but hazardous studies of different properties here in the city. So I'm juggling emails and shipping them into the right direction for people that can handle those problems. So that's what I usually do. And then probably one of our hardest things that we have to do in the day's time is figure out where we're going to eat lunch.
That's the most important thing of the day.
We argue about where we eat at, and then we go eat lunch and come back and wrap up your day, and just hopefully there's nothing going on, and then we'll talk about projects and things that we've got working. And there's always something too. We're trying to change our overtime system and get a new system for that. So there's quirks, there's bugs and stuff that we got to work out in that. So everybody, and I've got my training coordinator, he's got some things that he does, and then Jason, my deputy chief, he's got things that he does with the SOPs to personnel issues to different things of that nature. So he's dealing with that. And then I've got Mike over here who's dealing with everything else that doesn't eat, sleep, or breathe at the fire department. So, and he stays real busy. And then I am the brain, I guess, that everybody comes to and they ask, hey, what do you want to do about this? What do you want to do about that? What do you want to do about this? What do you want to do about that? And then I'm constantly getting pulled in certain different ways. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it. So I've got a great team. They worked hard. And, hey, I'm very proud to be the chief of the Jeffersonville Fire Department.
Is there one call that stands out to you more than others?
You know, I always tell people when it comes to talking about that, yes, there's a lot of calls like that. And I've been in the office probably 13 of my 27 years there. And if you was to say, and my daughter does this to me all the time, she goes, hey, Dad, what's my birthday? I grabbed my phone. I have to look it up. She does that to me all the time. And then I'll tell her after about 10 minutes after I find it, I've got it in there. But some of those calls and that you make while you're a firefighter, that stuff's branded in your head. So, and Jews are kids. You deal with kids, you can't get that out of your head, especially if you have kids. Death is the one thing that kind of makes you, when you put that fire coat on, you put those boots on, you put those pants on, and the helmet, you feel like you're immortal. And that's the one thing that'll bring you back to reality, is to know that someday that's going to be you. And to see little kids get hurt or lose their lives at such a young age, and you ask yourself, why is that? That's not fair. And those are the things that stick with you. And it's not if you're going to see it as a firefighter, it's when, because it's going to happen. Somebody's going to see it. And being able to manage that stress and anxiety from that, those runs, is kind of, it's a lifetime of work. Because we've all got it. If you've been a firefighter any amount of time,
that's why I always ask, you know, how's your mental health? Yeah. How are, is there resources available? Because you guys see people on their worst days.
Yeah. And it, like I said, it's been probably 13 years since I've been on a truck. And the drug craze had just kind of started right before I went out of the office. And this drug epidemic that we've got going on in this country, it doesn't discriminate. It's in the nice neighborhoods, it's in the lower income neighborhoods. It doesn't care where it's at. And to see that, I was just blown away. Because you're in your mindset, this is going to be this area, this is going to be that area. It's all over.
It's everywhere.
And it has a tendency to weigh on you. So to see it, I can imagine what our guys are going through now. It's like anything else. Some things in this world we kind of get used to, and it's sad that we do.
But when you see it day in, day out.
Yeah, you get kind of used to it. And that's a sad existence right now for this country, is that we have learned to accept the drug overdoses. Hey, you got some Narcan? Yeah, I got some here. But here, take some Narcan.
We have it here.
Yeah.
We have staff that is trained to do it.
Yeah,
we also know that you guys are literally in walking distance from us, too.
So that's one of the challenges of being this job, is to see that. See how the world's changed. And I think I'm a compassionate person, but I don't understand that if I see it every day as a community leader, how come our community leaders in Washington can't see it?
I mean, you guys are living it day in, day out, going to these calls and seeing.
And it's playing a big effect on the police department, too, is that they can't get help anymore because people don't want to be policemen. And that's one of the challenges of that job. And there's many, but there's a challenge of that job, is that people don't want to do this job anymore.